The name of my sermon is The Book of Life. Let's turn over to Malachi 3:16. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. The Expositor's Bible Commentary on Malachi 3:16 states, in this verse, Malachi portrayed God as listening to those who feared him. What they were saying, we do not know, but we can assume it was an expression of love and worship. Then comes the remarkable statement that a scroll was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord. This idea of God's keeping written records appears occasionally in the Old Testament. A few examples are Exodus 32:32, Psalm 69:28, Isaiah 4:3, and Daniel 12:1. The New Testament mentions it many times, especially in Revelation. Luke 10:20, Philippians 4:3, Hebrews 12:23, Revelation 3:5, Revelation 13:8, Revelation 17:8, and Revelation 20:12, to mention a few. Perhaps the most beautiful expression of the idea is in Isaiah 49:16, where it says, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. You hold things in your hands. Think about holding a valuable object in your hands. You would handle it with extreme care. God cares for his people and holds them in his hands as a father would hold his newborn baby. People like to have photo albums, scrapbooks, and keepsakes to remind them of family, friends, events, and memories. How many times have you gone to a funeral and seen displays of pictures and photo albums of the deceased person? You may also see movies of the person with his family. These types of things are very common. Let's notice that our prayers are like photos to God. Let's look at Revelation 5, verse 8. Revelation 5:8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now let's turn over to Revelation 8:3-4. Revelation 8:3-4. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. Could our prayers be to God like photos in a photo album? In Revelation 5:8, our prayers are like incense coming up before God. Incense is like a perfume. Could each of us have different scents of perfume in our prayers to God? Can God smell our prayers and know the type of prayer we prayed? Perhaps there is a difference of scent in a prayer of repentance and a prayer of mercy. Does God enjoy reading in the Book of Life and seeing our names written in it? I'm sure God enjoys reading the names of his friends, Abraham and Sarah, and David, a man after God's own heart. I know that God is looking forward to the resurrection when he can see and talk to the saints. Now let's look at Exodus 32, verses 30 to 33. Exodus 32, 30 to 33. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold." Verse 32. "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." The Believer's Study Bible note says on Exodus 32, verses 30 to 35, Moses offered his own life as an atonement for the people. No more plaintive or bold intercession of man for men is found in the pages of Scripture. God would not accept the blood of Moses, but he did accept the life of his only son, Jesus, as an atonement. The book written by God is the Book of Life, as it says in Revelation 3:5, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the Book of Life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now let's turn to Psalms 56, verse 4. Psalms 56, verse 4. "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me?" Now and drop down to verses 6 through 9, Psalm 56, 6 through 9. "They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps, when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger cast down the peoples, O God." Verse 8. "You remember my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me." In Psalms 56, verse 8, in the Believer's Study Bible, it says, "This is a figure imploring God to take notice of the reason for and the sorrow associated with each teardrop David sheds. Your book is an allusion to God's book of remembrance. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him, for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." Now let's look at Psalms 139, verses 13 to 16. Psalms 139, verse 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned before me, when as yet there were none of them. Now in Psalm 69, verse 4, Psalm 69, 4, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. Now Psalm 69, verses 27 and 28. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. The unrighteous will be blotted out of the book of life. Psalm 69, verse 28 in the Believer's Study Bible says, the book of the living is the Old Testament equivalent of the book of life. Now, let's turn to Daniel 12, verse 1. Daniel 12, 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Daniel 12:1 in the Believer's Study Bible says, resulting from the ferment described in the latter verses of chapter 11, a time of trouble will fall upon Israel as never before. Considering the exile in Babylon, the awful atrocities of Antiochus Epiphanes, and the anti-Semitic persecutions of Hitler and Stalin, such prediction assumes awesome proportions. So devastating will be the visitation of Israel during the concluding 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week that Michael the angel has to intervene to avoid complete annihilation of the human race, as it says in Matthew 24:22. It says there, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. At that time, those who have been saved, such as those found written in the book, will be delivered. Daniel 12:2 in the Believer's Study Bible says, as is frequently the case in prophecy, information was provided for Daniel concerning the facts about two resurrections. While the chronology of such events was revealed later to John on the Isle of Patmos, Daniel was simply instructed that there were to be two phases to the resurrection, one involving the righteous who would be raised to life, and another focusing on the lost. John in Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5, revealed an interval of 1,000 years will separate the two resurrections. Now let's turn over to Luke 10, verses 17 through 20. Luke 10, 17 through 20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Verse 18, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather because your names are written in heaven. Luke 10:20 in the Believer's Study Bible says, the conclusion of the Lord's instructions is a caution to the disciples not to become enamored with sensational spiritual events, however significant. Rather, attention should be focused on salvation, the central theme of all prophecy in Scripture, as well as the chief concern of Christ's life. The presence of one's name in heaven is of greater significance than any individual spiritual prowess about which one might boast. Now let's turn over to Hebrews 12, verses 22 through 24. Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Notice these verses do not say that we are going to heaven, but that our names are written and registered in heaven. This is like registering ahead of time with a motel to go to the feast. Our names are registered, but it's up to us to save the money and provide transportation to get there. We must set a right example and strive to overcome to make it into God's kingdom. Now let's turn to Philippians 4, verses 1 through 3. Philippians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Beloved, implore Eurodia, pardon me, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. We also must be fellow workers and labor in the gospel, making disciples of all nations. Let's turn back to Matthew 28 now, verses 19 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Now let's go back to Revelation 3, verse 5. Revelation 3, 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The Bible does not teach once saved, always saved. We must overcome and endure till the end to be saved. As it says in Matthew 24:13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now let's look at Revelation 13, verses 4 through 8. Revelation 13, 4 through 8. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now let's look at Revelation 17, verse 8. Revelation 17, 8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Notice the word those. Those who receive the mark of the beast, they will have to go through the seven last plagues. Let's turn back to Isaiah 4, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 4, verses 2 and 3. In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. Now let's look at Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Beginning in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In this great white throne period of time, people will have their opportunity to live for perhaps 100 years, having the books of the Bible and their minds open to God's truth and way of life. They then will be judged by the Word of God. After this period of time, those who did not overcome will not have their names written in the book of life and will be cast into the lake of fire. This is when the elements melt and the new heavenly Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. Let's look at Revelation 21, verses 8 through 10 now. Revelation 21, 8 through 10. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now let's look at Revelation 21, 27. Revelation 21, 27. But there shall by no means enter in it, that is, the new Jerusalem, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21, 27 in the Believer's Study Bible says, as in verse 8, all that would defile the city are excluded. No one whose name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life is admitted. Now let's look at Revelation 22, verse 19. Revelation 22, 19. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the Book of Life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. God gives a serious warning to everyone, including ministers and preachers, that if they alter his book, the Bible, and this would include his laws, commandments, statutes, and doctrines, that he will take away their name from the book of life. So in conclusion, brethren, our names are registered in heaven in God's book of life. The righteous that are recorded in the book have a promise of protection in the end time of trouble. Those recorded in the book will be in the first resurrection and will attain everlasting life. We must continually overcome and endure to the end so that our names will not be blotted out of the book of life, and that we can be a part of God's kingdom and the holy heavenly Jerusalem.